Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, I have a date this weekend, and I'm going to talk to our good friend Ian McNulty right now, who covers food and dining in the metro area, and I'm going to get some ideas of where to take this lady and how to impress her. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. And I got a simple solution for you, man. Just be yourself. Mm-hmm. You could impress the heck out of some date if it was just pulling up with ham sandwiches in a paper bag, I swear.
Well, apparently not, but I appreciate the confidence.
Cool. Okay.
Tell me about culinary, because it's important, I think, for people to know that this runs not just for the first week of August, but for the entire month of August.
Yeah, culinary is always really popular, and it comes around every August, which is when tourism and conventions typically, you know, see their slide, their seasonal slide. And so this was conceived as a, let's get the locals out. Let's offer something to them. Let's get a little special deals together, special menus, something to kind of jazz it up. And, you know, through the pandemic, culinary was really important. That you saw it deployed by restaurants in different ways. They had an extended version of culinary for a while. They had culinary when you could just do takeout. I mean, they bent over backwards to make this work and keep it going through those really hard times of the earlier phases of the pandemic. This year, it's back in more or less its original form, and I've been hearing a lot of excitement from people who are ready to get back at it. And so the basics of it, if you're not familiar, these restaurants that take part, they pledge to offer menus at a set price. So at lunch, it'll be two courses or more for no more than $25, very often less. And at dinner or brunch, three courses or more for no more than $45, often quite less. And from there, some of them have add-ons. You can there's several that will you know, offer you a wine tasting with each course for an extra fee. Well, again, not an exorbitant fee, just something that adds on to it, makes it a little more of a more of an experience. And what I like about it, Tommy, is it really runs the gamut. I mean, there are, there's the big, old, grand, classic restaurants downtown that take part. There's places that are brand spanking new that take part. There are places uptown. There's a couple places across the river, a couple in Metairie. And if you can't find something in the 80-plus restaurants that are taking part this year for culinary, you should probably assess what you're looking for when you dine out, because it really does cover the waterfront.
Let me invite the audience here, if I can, Ian, at 504-260-187. If you have any questions about restaurants, eating, dining, drinking, type of food, best restaurant in this area, that area, ideas, text it in, and I'll pass them along to Ian, because that's what he does. He kind of sets a table for the weekend, don't you?
Well, I try. And, it's a big tent. I try to invite people up to just enjoy what our restaurant community is putting out there. Because, man, I tell you, you know, you and I have been talking about this every week for a long time now. We've been through the ups, been through the downs. And, I'm not hearing anyone say this is normal or this is back to usual or anything like that. But what I'm hearing people say is, you know, they've figured some things out. They've adjusted. They're considering this the normal for now. And I got to tell you, Tommy, they're putting out some really darn good food. I mean, some of the restaurants that I've been to lately have been really impressive with what they're doing. Knowing that they're having to navigate restaffing, knowing that they're having to navigate all those costs that are hitting all of our pocketbooks and households and are hitting really heavily in the restaurant business with the way that they're supplied and the way that they have to do their business. And what they do through the magic of hospitality is still make sure that you have a really nice experience and let you know that you are in New Orleans and that you're in New Orleans restaurants and bars when you come in. And that's what we've always wanted from them, right? That's what we were fighting for. That's what we were pulling for them through all the times when it looked like so many of them might close down. And that's what we mourned when our favorite places did close down. And that's what we're back to celebrating and embracing with the places, the vast majority of places that have made it through so far and are back and are working and are cooking and are really happy to see you walk through the doors. So it's been good feelings this summer, being a local, living in the city, feeling like we're getting it back to ourselves a little bit, and seeing people circulate again.
Somebody texted in here, and I want to get to the customers because that's why we do this. They say they feel bad, and it's a long text, but basically they feel bad about going to a restaurant and ordering the culinary specials because they feel as though it's like they're using a coupon book or something. But that's not the case, is it?
No. They are a special price, and that sentiment behind that, I respect. I think that person texting in, it sounds like they feel like they want to be a supportive customer, and I applaud that. There's a very easy way to do that. You start with the $45 three-course menu, and you add some drinks. Mm-hmm. And believe me, that is where the markup is. The markup is not necessarily with the ribeye steak anymore. The markup is not necessarily with the crab meat au gratin anymore. The restaurants can do pretty good if you have a cocktail or two on top of that. And let's face it, we're not going out to culinary to get a $45 menu and then drink ice water. Mm-hmm. We are not. We are going out to have a nice experience, and that doesn't necessarily have to be a cocktail out there for anyone who's not drinking. You can, there's various ways to add on to your bill if you would like to do that, and including at the very end when you leave a nice generous tip. So these menus have been devised by the restaurants so that they can they're probably not making a killing in August with it, but they are getting people through the door. Very often I hear from restaurant people, they love it because they see people that haven't seen in a while, and even restaurants that have been around for a long time tell me that at Culinary, they always see people who have never been to the restaurant before, and even people who have lived here their whole lives. I had a discussion with Jacques Soulis over at Cafe Degas not long ago. He says he loves Culinary because here's a restaurant that's been around since 1986, and every year people come to the door and say, I've always wondered about this place. It looks nice. It's on Esplanade Avenue under the oak trees. It looks so pretty and French. And we just needed an excuse to come out, and Culinary was it. So don't feel bad about that one bit.
Since 76, well, I'm glad you got here before you passed away. Somebody texted in and said, mm-hmm. I enjoy Italian and French meals. Any hidden gems?
Oh, yeah. Well, in the right place for that. Let's I'll start with the French, and one of my favorite little hidden gems is Ciro's Côte Sud on Maple Street. And this is actually a restaurant. This is going to go both ways with that request. This is a restaurant that started out as a pizza parlor and then turned into a legit French bistro. But so many people in the neighborhood relied on it for pizza that they kept pizza on the menu. So you can get French bistro food, onion soup, mussels, and they do the mussels with this blue cheese in the mussel broth. Oh, it's so good. But also a pizza, whether that's for the kids at the table or you want a pizza as your main course with all these French appetizers around it, or you just want to play it one way or the other. It's a great little spot. It's very romantic, very mom and pop. Cash only, by the way, so remember that part. That's almost gotten me a time or two, and I think they take some like the Venmos and PayPals and stuff like that now. But bring cash. That's one of the few remaining places you need to bring cash. And also, open Monday, a rarity. So that's a wonderful hidden gem in Uptown for French. And you asked for Italian. Where to start? Tony Mandina's in Gretna is on my mind. They also have a culinary menu, and I love Mandina's in Mid-City on Canal Street.
Different people, all right?
They do. Different operation, yeah. Different, same family roots back there eventually, but totally different operation. Different menu, different this, different that. But I just say that because sometimes people hear Mandina's and they think it's mm-hmm. it's connected. It's a different operation, different business. But Creole Italian to the soul over there in Gretna, and they have a culinary menu, so hitting all the marks.
Somebody texted in and looking for beef Wellington, and I've never had this. I've always wanted to try it. Am I missing anything, Ian, by not having had this?
I'm laughing. I have to laugh, Tommy, because I can't believe how often I hear this request, and I wonder if it's just from the same, like, is there like some some expat Anglophile just pining away in, like, this land of Creole food for only I could get an overcooked slab of beef wrapped in pastry dough with some mushroom sauce around it. I kid. The cravings are cravings. Mm-hmm. But no, this is not a dish that you find regularly on New Orleans menus. Maybe your best chance to find one, and a good one, will be when the seasons move along to the winter. And we were talking about special menus and culinary today. Think about Revillon in December. That's when restaurants roll out these holiday themed menus, and very often you'll find more of these, like, sort of hearty seasonal dishes inspired by the northern climates, which is what beef Wellington is. And I have not found that to be a dish at New Orleans restaurants, but if someone has one out there, I'd love to hear about it, because the request comes up a lot more often than I ever thought would in this land of sizzling New Orleans style steaks, Creole seafood, and ever-broadening options of ethnic dining.
You know what it is for me? I see them on TV, prepared on TV, and it looks so good, but you've had it. Am I missing anything here by wanting to try beef Wellington, or not really?
Try it. Absolutely try it. It's a dish that I probably am a little prejudiced against it from versions that I've had in the past that were sort of... yeah, like I say, a little overcooked, a little mm-hmm. overdone, a little bit like let's take a perfectly good piece of meat and then disguise it in some pastry. And, you know, it's I wait to be corrected on that by a really blown.
You're pretty. Person. You don't need all that makeup. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, kind of.
All right. Let's take a break. We come back. We'll pick it up here. Any questions for Ian McNulty, 504-260-1870, about eating or drinking in New Orleans? We'll pass them along. We come back. I got a great question coming up about somebody that wants to go out to eat, but they're single and they feel bad about taking up a table. So we'll talk about that when we return with Ian McNulty. Whatever else you got, 504-260-1870. Back in a flash here on WWL. 927, Tim bringing us back with some prints at Master Control. Ian McNulty covers food and dining for the Times-Picayune, and it's hard to believe that at one point, party like it's 1999 was a thing in the future, huh?
Yeah, we all look forward to it. Yeah. How would we be partying come 1999?
Yeah.
How did we party in 1999? I'm having trouble remembering.
Be kind of old-fashioned now. speaking of which, I could use an old-fashioned right this second. But seriously, somebody texted in about... taking up a table during prime service hours. Somebody else texted, I would like to see more restaurants have a community table for single diners. I personally do not mind sitting with a stranger because it could turn into making a new friend. Happy Friday. That's from Karen. So what about
Karen,
that?
Thank you. Yeah, I love these texts, and I love the one that we got before too about the person who's concerned about doing culinary because mm-hmm. like, is it like using a coupon? Because these are people showing like sensitivity to the places that they're going. They're thinking about their own sense of hospitality when they go into hospitality spaces. And you've heard me say it before, that attitude, that approach is the best way to guarantee that you're going to have a really good outing. I swear it. It really is. It's part of the secret formula. It's no secret. But to get down to it, no, don't feel the single diner these days. I dine out by myself all the time. Maybe more than I do with other people. And, I look around and I see other people dining out solo. And first of all, if you're at all, I don't know, say self-conscious about it, but you know, an easy way to get into it is to look at the restaurant bar. Restaurants have been redesigned over the last many years to emphasize dining at the bar, and it's great for couples. It's where I prefer to dine very often, even when I'm with somebody. But for the solo diner, you just roll up to the bar and you have the full menu, and you often have more interaction with the bartender to walk you through things. It's a good place to start. I've talked to restaurateurs before. The ones who really understand it, they go out of their way to make solo diners feel welcome and cared for. And I think very often at the better places, they get better service. I was at Restaurant August recently. I mean, about as luxe upscale a dining experience as you can get in New Orleans, and across the room, Buddy and I saw a woman dining solo, and she looked like she was having a great time and, was really into every course. And, it's they're happy to see you. And I think a solo diner is very often the mark of someone who really is focused on the food and wants to enjoy the experience. And if a restaurant is on its mark, they should note that, pay attention to it, and step up. And about the communal table, these got a bad rap some years back when it became sort of a trend. And it was one of these, you know, everyone wants to beat up on the millennials. It was one of these, like, oh, these millennial trends. They all just want to get together and chat. And, like, you know, it's not proper dining anymore. And it's too social. It's like a dining hall. Well, the way that played out in New Orleans is New Orleans people took over. And many a communal table that I dined at, even with the height of this trend, was exactly what Karen was suggesting. It was we ended up talking with people. You're, what are you doing? You're at a restaurant. You're eating and you're drinking. What do New Orleans people like to do more than anything else? Talk about eating and drinking. That's why you and I are on this radio station right now together talking about it. And so that's how it goes. You'll talk about the person next to you, if they're from New Orleans, will almost inevitably make some comment about what you're having, and that leads into where else have you been, and what's like this, and have you ever been to this place, and where are you going next week? And you know what? If the person is an out-of-towner, very often in situations like this, whether I'm dining at the bar or by myself, somebody might turn to me and say, well, are you local, or to ask for advice, and they don't know what I do for a living, but I just lay it all on them. So, you know, you also have an opportunity to
I can imagine somebody asking you, you got any food or dining suggestions, like Bill Murray in, what is it, Leap Year. No, what did the movie where it's the same day every day? Groundhog's Day, where it's like, oh, I thought you wanted to talk about the weather, that kind of thing. I bet you just keep going on, don't you?
It does make me chuckle. Yeah, I don't often raise the curtain on them, but I give them some good intel. But that's the New Orleans visitor too. The well-informed New Orleans visitor is coming here with an eating list, in the way that somebody, you know, going to Napa is hitting wineries, or somebody going to the islands as dive locations or pristine beaches to visit. You know, I find that the best New Orleans visitors come here ready to eat, and maybe even with specific weight gain goals in mind. You know, they're going to be disappointed if they get back on the plane without adding 5 pounds.
Seriously?
I mean, the ones I end up talking to, yeah. And I try to coach them up a bit. They can go on a diet when they get back home to Ohio.
Speaking of traveling, somebody texted in about a must-go to restaurant in Las Vegas. Apparently, they're headed to Sin City soon.
I don't have much for you in Vegas. You know, if you want to keep it local and in a way, Emeralds, Emeralgasi has his Emeralds Delmonico out there. That's one of those fascinating restaurants that probably does most of its business after midnight. You know, people like rolling in from the tables to get in on that. I would say, you know, if I was going to Vegas, I would try to find something that I can't get here. So I would look for something, because everything in the world is in Vegas, right? Like, they have unlimited money and unlimited abilities to fly things in, and you know, a customer base that's just going to gush cash at them. So find something that you're just not going to find in New Orleans, or at a level you're not going to find in New Orleans. You know, if I was going to Vegas with that kind of itinerary, I might try to find some really interesting, some kind of, you know, high-end sushi, or some really interesting regional Chinese food, because I bet that's out there. I bet that's available through some of the casinos or some of the restaurants that are catering to the international travelers. That's probably what I would look for.
Somebody asked that you recap again the restaurant on Maple Street that you were talking about.
Yeah, that's Ciro's Côte de Sud. The Ciro is C-I-R-O. It was originally called Ciro's back when it was a pizza place. Côte de Sud is the name when it became a French bistro, and they just basically merged the two together. So that's on Maple Street, just off of Carrollton. Real nice place. Plain cash.
Another text that comes in is asking about dress code at restaurants during the summer. Is there one standard, or does it depend on where you're going, whether you need a jacket, or does anybody require a tie anymore?
I'm not saying anywhere that requires a tie. And honestly, even the places that are jacket required, they tend to wink at it. You know, I mean, they still have the loners in the corner at Galatoire's for gentlemen going in with a jacket, but you know, once you get past the door, it does seem like all bets are off. It's sort of up to people's individual decorum. You know, I've seen people troop through really fine restaurants with shorts and backpacks, and, you know, I'm not you know, I'm not a priss about this stuff, but like, you know, I just personally think if you're going out to a nice place, you want to match the setting. But, you know, then again, I tend to dress up to even fly on an airplane.
You know,
I don't want to be trooping around like I just rolled out of bed and I'm wearing my Looney Tunes pajamas out traveling or going to dinner. So I would say, you know, I would say read the room, you know, read the room. How do you want to look? Do you want to look like you just, dropped out of gym class and into this nice restaurant and, everyone, including the staff is dressed in the nines, or do you want to look like, you walk in here and you're part of the setting, you're taking part in the experience. So, that's how I go with it. And particularly in the summertime, I think that may be part of the question. Yeah, you know, it's for men in particular, you know, if you have to wear a jacket in the summertime, that's asking a lot. But, you know, my trick is I don't put that stuff on till I get to the door of the restaurant. I can't think of the restaurant that's really going to turn you away in the summertime if you're dressed down a little bit.
Thank you so much, Ian. We appreciate it. Y'all, you can listen at Audacy.com. You can go download the Audacy app, and you can listen to the podcast of Ian's recommendations. We usually write a blog about it. You can always go to IanMcNulty.com, right? Is that where we find you?
NOLA.com. NOLA.com has all the stuff together there.
So give me two can't misses for this weekend.
Okay. Well, it's culinary time, so I'm sending you in two different directions. Palm and Pine, fantastic modern restaurant on Rampart Street at the edge of the French Quarter. This hits all the buttons of what we talked about. It has a culinary menu. It's a great deal. It's seasonal. It's fresh. When I went there, I dined by myself, solo, not afraid. I sat at the dining counter. I was wildly entertained watching the chefs put the meal together. Really good food, good energy, great cocktails. Full package in the French Quarter, real cool. And then let's go way on the other side of the equation for an old school classic. When was the last time you went to Clancy's? It's way uptown. That's deep French Creole with a little modern twist. You can also sit at the bar there and dine, by the way. I know some people who do that every Thursday evening, in fact. And that's a really, really nice place that connects you with New Orleans and is just a little bit off the radar. It's not a place that screams for attention, but it always is really, really tight and really good.
Palm and Pine and Clancy's. Thank you, Ian. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Take care.
You bet. Ian McNulty, it's 9:37:23.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.